Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The headline in the Times of Israel, Netanyahu, it's the ICC prosecutor, not me, who should be concerned for his status. Headline in the Jerusalem Post, ICC requests, quote, like charging U.S. and Al-Qaeda after 9/11, end quote, says the Prime Minister Netanyahu. I welcome Jonathan's comments on these two headlines already, because the day after the news arrives from the International Criminal Court at The Hague, Mr. Netanyahu is responding, so is the defense minister, Yoav Gallant. But most importantly, so are all of the allies of Israel and the neighborhood of Israel all responding. Jonathan, my first question is, did you know this was coming? Because I certainly didn't. Was it something that was in the wind or a complete surprise to everyone? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, actually, we knew that this was being discussed for quite some time, that Karim Khan, the prosecutor for the ICC, has actually been engaging with U.S. and Israeli officials over the last several months to discuss the possibility of such a warrant being issued. I have to just point out here, though, that the very fact that he was negotiating with people like Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and negotiating with the Israeli government about whether he would or would not issue this arrest warrant, I think already underscores that this is a kangaroo court. I've never seen any other court in the world. Can you imagine a judge going to, someone who is accused or may be accused of a crime and trying to figure out before a process even begins to start to talk to them about whether concessions might be made? It was political from its inception. Something happened, though, that forced Karim Khan to go from discussions with the U.S. and Israel to actually dropping this. I think we need to look at a couple of other things, though, because I think a couple of other interesting things stand out. One is that a lot of the information that they refer to apparently is gleaned by the UN. And of course, the primary agency that is in Gaza that would be able to confirm or deny these charges, the primary agency there is UNRWA, the UN Relief and Works Agency, which is an agency that has been partnering with Hamas. We know that Hamas has used its facilities to store weapons, to actually operate servers underground, to fire weapons from within their courtyards. So UNRWA's role here needs to be examined. And then there's just the very strange charge that has been leveled here. As my colleague Ord Kitried noted to me, there's no shooting charge, right? What they're actually charging Israel primarily is that they've conducted a siege on Gaza, and that is the reason why Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Gallant are being hauled before the court, so to speak. It's interesting because everybody knows, and I think the prosecutor knows, that the Israelis have actually conducted themselves in a far more professional manner than even the U.S. has in places like Iraq or Afghanistan. In other words, the civilian casualty ratio to combatants is something like 2-1, whereas in Iraq or Afghanistan, it was 9-1 or worse. And so I think the prosecutor knew that he had to do this, he had to go with this charge, except this charge has never been leveled before in any serious way in any serious court. It's the most amorphous and vague approach to war crimes that you could imagine. It's essentially a Hail Mary, if you will. And there is, I think, when we look back on this, whenever this thing finally gets settled, we will see that the inclusion of Hamas figures and Israeli figures on the same charge sheet, it was an attempt at equivalence. And the president of the United States came out immediately after these charges were announced and rejected any equivalence between these two sides, between a murderous terrorist organization and an American ally that has conducted itself admirably on the battlefield.
My understanding is the charge turns on accusing Israel of withholding food and water from the Gazans purposefully in order to either subdue them or remove them purposefully, knowing full well, anyone would know full well who's watched this war for more than more than 7 months, is that the ambushes and hijackings were entirely done by Hamas once the trucks cleared the gates, and that Hamas steered the food into a black market. Hamas kept it for its own families and used the Gazans as human shields. Everyone knows this, Jonathan. If I know it, everyone knows it, certainly the International Criminal Court. And so I'm puzzled because we're told there was a committee, a tribunal, a trial, a platform of 8 people permitting reviewing these charges. 8 people voted unanimously to indict Netanyahu and Golan with no mitigating information, no hesitation whatsoever, given that Israel has recorded on video the hijacking of men with their faces covered, carrying automatic weapons, driving the UN trucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think, John, the unfortunate reality is that leaders of Israel, including Gallant, went on record as saying that nothing will go in or out of Gaza until the hostages are returned. And that was an early statement in the war. And I think that's being used, these are their words being used against them. And I think, by the way, that's a cautionary tale for any country, as they respond with anger after an attack, that they need to now have to be careful about the kinds of things that they utter publicly, because they could be used against you by the ICC in this amorphous thing that we call international law. But I think, look, you're right. We know that Hamas has been diverting aid. And we know that, or we should see, that Hamas should be brought up on the same charges as, you know, Gallant and Bibi, but they're not. And I think that's actually very telling that they've declined to hold Hamas accountable for all of this. But I have to say one thing that's also important here. Israel may have said these things, or some of its leaders may have said these things, but when you look at what's happened since, the Israelis have actually been bringing aid into Gaza in order to avert a famine or a food security situation. And they've been bringing in that food and assistance with their own soldiers, putting their own soldiers in the line of fire in order to make sure that this didn't happen. And they get no credit for that either from the ICC. It is truly as if they've decided to pick and choose what is or is not a war crime, and when the Israelis are implied to be part of the problem or when they're explicitly not part of the problem, they're ignoring all of it.
124 nations have signed under the ICC, endorsed it in some fashion. Notably, the U.S. and Israel are not among those 124. But I note in a report that France and Germany are supporting the ICC charges. Jonathan, what is lawfare? How does it work?
Look, lawfare is the weaponization of the law in order to drive outcomes either in the realm of public relations or, in fact, on the battlefield. And we are watching that. We're watching lawfare play out in real time. I mean, I think I probably don't need to remind you or your listeners that the international system, the system that the UN provides over, was designed to actually help preserve the U.S.-led order to ensure that the Western-led system would stay intact. What we're watching right now is a steady erosion of that. And by the way, it's not something that is new or different. I mean, we can the World Health Organization, the WHO as it's known, anyway, they ran interference for the Chinese Communist Party after the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. We see UNRWA engaging in terrorism out of Gaza, and people just, they keep promoting this agency. And now we see the ICC engaging very clearly in what we would call lawfare. They've turned the laws of armed conflict against Israel as a means to try to get them to either stop what they're doing on the battlefield of Gaza or to potentially undermine the elected leader of a Western ally. This is the reality of the international system that we're dealing with, and it's the reality of this new era of lawfare that we have very clearly entered into here. You know, by the way, that the predecessor of Karim Khan, the previous ICC prosecutor, was sanctioned by the Trump administration for similar problems. We need to see now whether Congress and the administration are willing to take similar measures and to punish the ICC for what is clearly a politically driven process that has bastardized international law.
Do we know much about Karim Khan, the prosecutor? I understand he's a British citizen. He's an esteemed attorney, barrister. He had a brother who was a member of parliament. His family is hardworking immigrants, I believe. And he was well-educated, I believe, the University of Edinburgh or in that region in any event. I don't know much more about his background. He's participated in war crimes investigations over time. This seems to be a specialized piece of international jurisprudence. But is there reason to believe that he could have been turned or persuaded or in sympathy with some faction? Well, I just don't know more.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, again, you need to understand, and right now, advocates for Hamas are out there parroting this in the media. They're saying that this was Israel's choice for ICC prosecutor. Not that Israel tipped the decision in his favor, but Israel actually seemed to appreciate his approach to international law more than some of the others that were up for the position of prosecutor for the ICC. And so then he came in, and then the war erupted, and he actually visited Gaza. We know that he met with Israelis. And like I said at the top of this segment, John, he's met with Lindsey Graham. He's met with Israeli officials. He has actually tried to navigate this for what it seemed like was in good faith. There was a process that was underway as of a few days ago, and he pulled out of it suddenly. Nobody knows why. Nobody knows what prompted him to do it. But he went from talking to the Israelis and talking to the U.S. to charging war crimes against the sitting prime minister and defense minister of Israel. Something drastic happened here. And I don't know what prompted him to change his approach. Again, I will stress that if you're negotiating with the people that you say may have committed a crime, there's something wrong with the system to begin with. I would say that it really does look like a kangaroo court, but it looks even more like one when you stop that process seemingly out of nowhere, not prompted by anything that happened over the last week. It seems like it's external decision that ultimately prompted him to scuttle these talks.
Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, commenting on what we know so far about the decision by a unanimous decision by 8 members of the ICC to seek an arrest warrant over the Prime Minister of Israel and the Minister of Defense of Israel. We're going to turn to the war when we come back, driven by Iran. And there's turmoil and dissent in Tehran. Why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Baxter.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.